It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
And welcome to The Drive this Friday. Chiefs preseason's done. It's time for the regular season in 13 days. Jay Binkley, Rob Brenton with you again today. Carrington back on Monday. Thanks for listening. 96.5. The Fan FM, as you heard the game last night on 96.5, like you'll hear it the whole season. Fun stuff today. Matt McMullen of the Kansas City Chiefs in with us talking Chiefs from 3 to 4. As we sit there and await the final cutdowns from the Kansas City Chiefs, they have until Tuesday at 3 o'clock to make their final decision. Josh Vernier come up four as the Royals begin that stretch that he calls the riptide, the 20 games against 20 playoff teams the Royals are about to embark on as they play the Philadelphia Phillies tonight. But first, Rob, since it's Friday, we have to give away some pizza.
Time on The Drive, Bank. Dial me up right now. Caller number 6, 586-7965. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tassio. Pizza Tassio has locations all around the metro, Bank. They got Waldo, Belton, North KC just for you, OP just for me. In the Midtown area, they got a killer selection of craft and local beer plus unique wine. So whether it's a slice or a whole pie, be sure to visit them today at pizzatassio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.
Like I told you, Rob, is there anything better than pizza and beer, especially this time of year as we're about to embark on football? You have EPL to watch too, so you get the best of all worlds going on for Rob Brenton right now. But let's face it, Kansas City Chiefs getting ready for another regular season and let the three-peat begin. You know, last night, you know, all the talk circulated, Creed Humphrey getting that extension for the Chiefs, supposedly a 4-year, $72 million extension. Not been 100% done yet, but that's what it's going to be, including $50 million guaranteed per multiple reports to what they're doing. And to me, it sends a clear message. Not only do they take care of the guys that they believe the trajectory is still going up, Herm Edwards didn't work out well as head coach in Kansas City, but I like something he said. He said, you pay a guy when the arrow's going up. You do not pay him when that arrow's going down. And if it's going sideways, you don't either. Patriots have lived by this philosophy. It's why Ty Law, when he got to that point, that's why they let him go. It's like Edgerrin James, Indianapolis, because they kind of subscribed to the same theory. He went away, and they drafted Joseph Addai, and they go and win a Super Bowl. But Creed Humphrey, to me, you're taking care of the guys you drafted. I think this spells bad things, possibly for Nick Bolton on the horizon, because you want to protect Patrick Mahomes, and I think that's how you kind of got to approach it. How best to make Patrick's life the best with their wide receivers, tight end, the offensive line, how can we do it? The continuity, having that center, that battery, that exchange between quarterback and center for the longest time. Trey Smith, I believe, is going to get the bag. His guards got paid in the National Football League last year. That was the hot spot there. Yeah, Trey Smith was a sixth rounder, but he was going into the year to be a first or second rounder. Some people backed away because of the medicals, but he clearly would have been a first round. You see how just absolutely dominating. Is there any more body dominating on this offensive line, though, in your opinion, than what you see from Trey Smith?
I mean, Kingsley, I see nobody. Might. You've Maybe. Seen Kingsley on screens might be that guy.
He might be. Creed Humphrey, of course, had some snaps. They want to work on those snaps, but what it would put the highest average per year offensive lineman, Tristan Wirfs, number one, Landon Dickerson, two, Creed Humphrey would be three. So it's quite impressive. But Creed Humphrey got a 93 grade on Pro Football Focus, which was first in the NFL, 94.2 run blocking grade first, 81.9 pass blocking grade. So, yeah, and a 2% pressure rate, which only two guys have had a pressure rate as low as Creed Humphrey and Jason Kelce, because those are the two that have been top at their field. Matter of fact, under 40 pressures allowed since 2021, Creed Humphrey 39, Jason Kelce 36. You know, that's elite company right there, as good as these guys have been. But that's what it says to me. It's like, we're going to go out and protect Patrick Mahomes. It's like after that Tampa Bay Super Bowl, Brett Veach went to town and said, we got to work on this offensive line. So I saw Joe Tooney arriving. Orlando Brown ended up being here because they couldn't get the Trent Williams deal done. You look at how good the Chiefs have been in the draft, getting basically guys that are first-rounders, not in the first round. That is bargain shopping. That is buying a house for $50,000 and selling it for $200,000. That's what they do. They've been flipping players is what they do. Creed Humphrey in the second round, he's a surefire first-round pick at this point. Trey Smith, first-round pick at this point. But I think it's trouble on the horizon for Nick Bolton. I do. Is Nick Bolton a great player? 100% he is. Going back to college, he was always the guy at the water cooler. Hey, man, did you see what Nick Bolton did? Second in the NFL in tackles a couple years ago. The guy is a tackling machine. But when he was out, and you can't pay everybody. That's the thing. You can't pay everybody. So it's more important? Linebacker or somebody protecting Patrick Mahomes? I'm going to lean that direction again. You can't pay everybody. Yes, they've made a commitment to Creed Humphrey, but I think they're making a commitment to the offensive line. So Nick Bolton might be the odd man out. We don't know yet. We don't know, but keep in mind when he was out last year, did you notice? Drew Tranquil put the green dot on. You didn't notice exponentially. It sucks because I'd like to keep him here. Hell, I'd like to keep all the players, but that's not just the reality of football, Rob.
We talked a lot, and by we, I mean Carrington and I, and then when you came on the show, we talked a lot about this. How are the Chiefs going to handle the contracts this offseason? Because they had basically four options. They had Trey Smith coming in the last year of his deal, but we just saw the guard market explode. They had Creed Humphrey, who they just paid today, reportedly. I know it's not pinned to paper yet, yeah, per Brett Veach in the pregame preseason broadcast yesterday, but Ian Rapoport doesn't tweet that out and have it be wrong. So yeah, That's happening. Harrison Butker was entering the final year of his deal. Harrison Butker, we now know, he got extended. I believe that happened when I was on my honeymoon, so he's been extended. And then Nick Bolton. Those were the four guys. The Chiefs chose. They chose their kicker and their center. They might still have a chance at their guard, but if their guard is going to look for top-flight guard money, which is now big, big money, then they really can't afford to pay their guard. And most top flight teams in the league tend to walk on linebacker. Look what the Ravens just did with Roquan Smith. Does anyone think, oh man, the Ravens don't have Roquan Smith, they're screwed? No one thinks that. They think, you're fine, you lost your linebacker. Nick Bolton is a good player. I get a bad rap on this show of being a Nick Bolton hater. I am not a Nick Bolton hater. He does have value, but you laid it out perfectly. Last year, did you notice when he was gone? No, because Drew Tranquil was good. You laid it out perfectly. Is linebacker a dime a dozen position? Absolutely it is. I refer to it as the running back of the defense. And I think on top of all of that, quiet as it's talked about, Nick Bolton has had some injury concerns over his career. He's been hurt twice that has cost him games in the regular season. So the Chiefs had four contract questions coming into this offseason. They answered them. They went Butker and they went Creed. I don't know they're going to make another move before the season starts. And maybe, just maybe, they're done making moves in totality, which would mean that Trey Smith and Nick Bolton are earning the final year of their contract, which this is what happens. This is how it works. Look at the Patriots, Bink, when they were running over people. They traded Richard Seymour. Mm-hmm. They walked on Asante Samuel. They traded Mike Vrabel, who's in their ring of honor. They didn't re-sign Ty Law. Like, sometimes you have to make tough decisions, and fan favorites and great players walk because you got to pick and choose your spots. The Chiefs this offseason had four options. They chose two. This is kind of how it works.
Are you on with me? Do you think tuning this last run for Tooney, this the last dance this year with him?
I think Tooney is definitely, I think Tooney's age kind of pushes him out more than anything, but yes, I agree that Tooney's in the final year of his contract.
So if you want to say, okay, maybe Wanya Moore, step at a guard because he's not going to win the left tackle over Kingsley, can that be a guy? Because you definitely want Trey Smith at that point, because you don't want to lose both the guards. Like, you don't want to lose both those guys next season, so that's something to watch for with Joe Tooney, because you want to keep Trey Smith. I mean, the guy is just simply dominating. To me, he sets the tempo for what the offensive line is. He and Creed Humphrey, they bring that nasty disposition. You know, a lot of times people used to think the Chiefs were a finesse team, and that's what they were called, but those guys bring the nasty. Not only that, they're just the best at their craft in the NFL. With Jason Kelce out of the league, you know, at center, it's Creed's world now at the center position. But you keep that battery from Mahomes. And again, if I'm the general manager of the Chiefs, which clearly not, but everything would revolve around 15. I would 100% say, and I remember, you know, saying that until we were down at Cinder Block for the for draft night, character concerns crew down there that Friday night of the draft when it was in Kansas City. And I said, you got to make this night about Pat. Got to make this thing, because the night before he went all defense and ended up going defense the rest of the draft. But on Friday night, I looked at those guys and said, man, they got to think about Pat. They did. They drafted that year. They got Sky Moore and they got Juan E. Morris. Okay, so you got those guys, at that point, it's like, okay, get the offense for Patrick Mahomes, but everything I'm running through the Patrick Mahomes water cooler, like, what makes him better? Because in my opinion, you're never going to have a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. New England's never going to have a quarterback better than Tom Brady. It's just not going to happen. We know it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're not going to have a quarterback wins six rings, well, plus the one he won in Tampa there. And I can't see the Kansas City Chiefs ever, because remember how the quarterback has always been a struggle in Kansas City? Like, it's from the day that, you know, from Lynn Dawson on, and even Lynn Dawson wasn't drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. It was just something that Patrick Mahomes, you know, the Buffalo Bills were willing to trade the Kansas City Chiefs, which is really funny because they're a rival and they made the Kansas City Chiefs better, and they haven't looked back since that day of that trade with the Buffalo Bills on draft day. But I ran through Patrick Mahomes. What makes him better? Obviously, you can get by in the running game with seventh rounder, undrafted, you name it. Offensive line, obviously, Kelce at tight ends, huge for him, but wide receivers. Wide receiver talent that catches the football and enhances your quarterback. You give the Ferrari gas. Only said that, you don't keep the Ferrari in the garage without gas, you feed it gas. And you're lucky to have a Patrick Mahomes. You keep feeding him and giving him weapons and understand, you know, what this team is. Yes, it's great to have this defense good, and they spend a lot of time building the defense. I've always felt now it's time to help the best quarterback in the NFL. Yes, he's proven he can win with less talent because he proved that last year. Don't make him go through that again. Don't make him go through that struggle again. You know, he willed this team to a Super Bowl title. Wasn't easy. Make it easy. See what kind of run this Kansas City Chiefs can get on. But that's why next year, it's like, still want wide receiver. Yeah, defensive line, I can listen to that argument in the first round, but I'm still 100% team wide receiver. Build this up for Patrick. But clearly this Creed thing, you know, signals Patrick. That's why I look at Trey Smith and say, all right, that's another Patrick Mahomes type move, because he trusts these guys. Who was it with him at WWE? Remember? His two protectors? It's all, you know, WWE just fun, but it was who? Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. You know, those are his guys. So we'll see with that direction going forward. Royals home game today against the Philadelphia Phillies. You know what that means? Royals Price is Right. Plus, Cody Decker joined Cody and Gold and who he wants the Royals to play in the postseason next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton. You know what that music is? You guessed the Royals' attendance. It wasn't very good last time, Rob. We did. It was like 13,000 some, 13,310 or something on Wednesday.
It was 13,009 on a Wednesday.
But there's no giveaways.
No giveaways.
No promotions. What's tonight?
Tonight we got a double promotion, Bink.
Okay, double promotion.
A little
promotion.
Double dip. Ooh. We got the first 15,000 fans receive a Lorenzo Cain bobblehead.
Oh, people love bobblehead.
Plus, speaking of things people love, Bink, it is Firework Friday.
Oh, hell yes. And that's got to be coming close to an end, isn't it?
Firework Friday at the K, Phillies Royals, and a Lorenzo Cain bobblehead for the first 15,000 through the gates tonight.
Wouldn't mind having one of those. I like those bobbleheads. They're fun.
We'll you a bobblehead guy? I'm not a bobblehead guy.
No, I give them away to, like, I like to give them to my kids or whatever.
That makes sense. All right, Bink, let's start with Jeremy. Jeremy, how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
I'm thinking around 28-8.
28-8 for Jeremy. A little more positivity today.
Jeremy is a believer. Austin, how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
We'll go with 26-5.
26-5.
Early going, big believers. Wednesday was an outlier.
But double promotions.
Double promotions.
Bobblehead night, that's good for at least 10,000, man.
Jared, how many people you got going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
37,000.
Say 37,000?
Or 27.
Yes, sir.
All right.
He said 37.
Jared, one more time for me. 27 or 37?
37.
I'll put you on hold, Jared. Jared's got near a sellout tonight.
He does. Jared's banking heavily on the bobblehead.
All right, our final guesser, Mike. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
Let's go with 25,200.
Ooh, man, these are all real close.
25,000.
Everybody's kind of right in the same ballpark there.
What do you got tonight, Bink?
What do I have tonight? 31,900.
31?
Yeah, because I'm a firm believer in bobblehead. I've seen it, man. When I did the Royals post game that one year, like I know what it looks like for bobblehead night, man. I, you know, 10K extra and firework night, yeah, they're going to stay. Wait till the end. It's going to look good because you're going to have your crowd. Because I remember the Royals getting destroyed one day in like the sixth, but still it was a full crowd because they liked the fireworks. People in this town love the fireworks and they love bobbleheads. And they love free t-shirt giveaways.
I think 25 is a good number.
Really? Right? You think that's 25?
So? Yeah. It's hard for me to say it's going to be much, much more than that because I know that Wednesday was no giveaway, et cetera, the whole deal. But, I mean, they had. You're telling me they're going to get double and then some what they're getting? That just seems like too high a margin.
I'm just looking at this. This is a great day. I think the high temperature today is like 84 degrees. You have the Royals two games out of first place. You've got the Philadelphia Phillies that I think are the best team in Major League Baseball. I know they have two less wins than the Dodgers, but I think they're better. You got Trey Turner on that team. You got Schwarber, you know, home run guy. You got Bryce Harper on that team going against Bobby Witt, Sal Perez, Benny, the crew. I mean, this is a great match. I mean, the Royals right there, man.
I mean, a lot of those
it's
things
one thing about the wild card, but it's another thing talking they're that close to the division.
A lot of those things existed for Wednesday. I know the opponent didn't have the juice, but the Royals were in a wild card race. The division, know, they're right there. Chance to win a series. They had.
But you don't see this team very much. I mean, this
is true.
This is the Phillies 1980 World Series rematch. Yeah, it's not Pete Rose or any of those guys out there, but, you know, it is a rematch from the 1980 World Series. That is fun. You don't get to see Bryce Harper play every day. So you add that in. You give away a bobblehead, Rob. You throw in some fireworks. That is a lot. That is a lot. That what I told you there is more than, what, 15,000 people? Just that alone?
I like Jared's guess. Like Jared's a believer, but I think 37 is way too high.
I'm not going 37. I think my 31.9 is probably 2,000 too high, to be honest with you. It should be that, but
I would love them to break 30 tonight. If they break 30, even if, I mean, let's say they go 30 flat and neither one of us is right, I would still be very happy. It's hard for me to believe you're going to see 30 when you can only get, you know, 13, and it was 13 purchased. If you were watching the game on TV Wednesday, it didn't look or feel like 13.
No, it didn't, but there was a couple things going for him, and that is during the week. You know, school started this week, and I know a lot of people say school is back off it, so You're dealing with a Friday night. Chiefs, you know, wrapped up preseason yesterday. The focus on the Royals here for the next 13 days. You're 100% focused on this team. Two games back now, the closest they've been to Cleveland Guardians. The bobblehead, the fireworks, the Phillies, one of the best players in baseball, Bryce Harper coming to town. Rematch 1980. There's a lot of the strong forces pulling, Rob. And being a Friday night, much different. Much different than a Wednesday night school night. So we'll see which direction they go, but that'll be interesting. Cody Decker, former Major League player, joined Cody and Gold. He was in Vegas, wasn't he? That was live.
Yes. Yeah, Circa, he was all part of Circa, yep.
Okay, live at Circa. And by the way, I think they're hopping in the pool now. Alex Gold said he's getting himself a cocktail and he's hopping in the pool, which don't feel sorry for Alex today and or Cody because they're going to have a great time today. But before I do, I want to get in that. I want to address this real quick, Rob, because you had brought this up, because I know you got some resistance to the Nick Bolton take you had. And I see it here on the text line as well. Being weak against the run without Bolton will make the offense worse, and that's because if teams can run on the Chiefs, they can't control the clock. Here's the one thing about it. The Chiefs were number two in the NFL in yards against. They were number two in the NFL in sacks. They were number two last year in points against. Nick Bolton only played in eight games. The NFL schedule 17 games. He played in eight. Yet they had the number two defense in the National Football League. Number two defense. All right? So they moved on. They found a way to just, you didn't notice it. And Drew Tranquil's a stud that runs around. They gave him a new contract. I'm just saying, and keep this in mind too, who do you look at and say they're the big bad bullies of defense? They're just so tough against the run. They're tough against everything. What's the first two name you'd come to mind? Maybe Baltimore Ravens, probably who you'd say. Because that is who we value as maybe the best defense in the NFL. You know what they gave up on the ground per game, running game? They gave up 109.4 yards per game last year on average. You know what the Chiefs gave up? And this is with Nick Bolton just playing eight games. 113.2 yards per game. Okay? That's only 4 yards difference between the Chiefs and the Ravens when you're thinking about the big bad bullies. You know, the Ravens against the run. I'm just saying, I love watching him play. Love it. But it's a position I feel you can draft before. And you can't pay everybody. Because if you're a GM and you always listen to the fans, what do they always say? You eventually go sit with them if you're always listening that direction. Cody Decker, former Major League player, was on with Cody and Gold today, as I mentioned, from Circa in Las Vegas. And he mentioned who he'd like to see the Royals play in the playoffs, and I don't really agree with him.
You know, it depends on who they're going to be set up with. I'm okay with them being set up with whoever has a bye. I think if they meet up with, what I don't want to see them happen is like them meeting up against the Astros. It doesn't mean I don't think they can beat the Astros. I do think they can beat the Astros. I think they're better than the Astros. I don't think the Astros are particularly a great team this year, but October we'll see what happens. I like the idea of them facing somebody with the bye because I firmly think that the bye is punishment for the best teams in Major League Baseball. Who's come out of 5 days off and just swung the bats like they know what they're doing? No one. It's been an Achilles heel for the Dodgers. It's been an Achilles heel for the Phillies, the Yankees. I think the Yankees need to finish second place so they don't have to deal with the bye. I think that momentum for an offensively minded team like that is going to be huge. If they can face one of those, if they end up facing the Yankees with the bye, I think it's the best possible scenario for the Kansas City Royals.
That is an interesting theory, not to carry that momentum going forward. I know in the National Football League they say the same thing, but I'll be honest with you. I think rest helps players more. That's why the Chiefs decided to rest everybody against the Chargers so they could have that rest going forward. I think it's important, but if you're going to say, well, momentum, I can see that. I will say this about Houston. They sucked earlier this year. When the Royals swept them, they were a bad team. They were 10 games behind the Mariners that just fired their manager, Scott Servais, yesterday. But they're good now. And here's the thing. They've got the acumen as well. It's like the Chiefs last year in the postseason. They weren't having the best season. But when they got to the postseason, they knew what the hell to do. And they knew how the hell to beat you. And they did. And they won another Super Bowl. The Astros have been to seven straight American League Championship Series. The Royals have had great success against Houston. They're very good. And they got to go down to Houston and play them four. But this team is different than the one I saw earlier. It is. They've been on a roll. They're going to carry away this division. Whatever. The Yankees, no thank you, man. Even having the bye or not, I don't want anything to do with them. You remember when they came to Kansas City and just thumped the absolute hell out of the Royals? They did. And I know that was earlier in the season. Keep in mind, they played that Sunday night baseball game. They flew in, didn't arrive till like 4 or 5 in the morning. Soto didn't play. Judge didn't play. And yet they went out and they still beat the Royals that had all that rest, and they flew in that night. So I don't want the Yankees in the first round. That is definitely not who I want.
Do you subscribe to that theory that playing a team with a bye is an advantage for the Royals? Because, I mean, it's the rest versus rust argument. That's basically what he's saying. We see it in the NFL every year. But
baseball is more of a timing thing than football, and football rest does matter.
I mean, I know he said the Yankees would be the best possible scenario, but, like, whoever the one seed may be, let's say it's the Orioles, who have handled the Royals pretty well this season. Do you think facing a team that had the bye is actually to the Royals' advantage if they get through the wild card round and then face someone like that in the divisional round?
I don't think it really matters, and I'll say this. Your pitchers are fresh and ready to go. Like, you can start off game one with your ace. And if you're a knock-in, drag-out series, that first three-game series, right, Rob? You're burning your whole bullpen, you're burning everybody up, and the other team's fresh and ready to go with their starters. That would concern me more than anything. Because their ace of the staff, the number two, the number three, would be ready to go right away against the Royals. So, no, I wouldn't exactly want that. Coming up next, the Chiefs. A better roster this year for the season or last year? We'll discuss it next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Missouri Athletics, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton, Kansas City Royals, Philadelphia tonight. At the K, Matt McMullen will be here. We'll talk football, Chiefs football, for an hour between 3 and 4. By the way, the cuts are starting to trickle in. Not from the Chiefs at this point. We'll let you know if we know anybody waived from the team. But the Bengals have let go of 11 players today already. They just made news with the Bengals. They're getting ahead of things because they played their last preseason game. And preseason games don't matter. Despite people melting down on Twitter or whatever because you're losing preseason games, come on, man. You guys know better than that. This is a good football town. You know the preseason doesn't matter. If I were to ask you how many wins during the preseason the Buffalo Bills, the Kansas City Chiefs, and Cincinnati Bengals had together, your guess would be what? It's actually one win between the Bills, the Bengals, and the Chiefs. It does not matter what happened in the preseason. Whose roster's better? I'd like to hear from you, too. Our text line, 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. You don't have the number saved. Go ahead and save it, the old one. We can't see anymore, so if you're still texting the old one, which I know some people do, don't do it because we won't see it. It's going to be sitting out there in Neverland at this point. But 913-586-7965 is the text line, and we do enjoy your thoughts. This is what Mitch Holthus had to say. And he was on one of the shows, and I'll never forget. I think he was with Carrington. And I never forget what he said, because I agree with him 100%. Who was better, last year or this year?
You got to win the division first. You got to focus in. And just because you won it 8 in a row doesn't mean you get the birthright to win it 9 in a row. It's on. But I will tell you, the Chiefs are better. This is a better team than they were a year ago. Because I asked this question. We'll do this discussion again before the season starts, probably. You think the Chiefs are going to go 4-4 at home? You think the Chiefs are going to go minus 11 in the giveaway takeaway? Think the Chiefs are going to have 45 drops and the third level's open for business again? Just put all those things and put it and go, maybe not. Think they're going to have to face a December where they had to face five straight opponents with 9 or 14 days rest? No. I'm telling you, it's on. It's on. But the rest of the division will be better. I agree with that. But so are the Chiefs.
See, I'm 100%. With Mitch on this. And when you think about the rest of the division, some of the things, I mean, Denver's going to go through its growing pains with Bo Nix at quarterback. It just will happen. The Raiders, I mean, they're going to be floundering around with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. It's going to be Minshew to start off with, but Aiden O'Connell is going to be right there over the shoulder, which doesn't scare anybody, like literally nobody. And then the Chargers that aren't ready for prime time yet. I think they're going to be a much improved team, but I think they need a little bit more work with some of the skill position, especially receiver. They don't have anybody to catch the football, which is going to hurt them this year. But the bottom line is, I do feel this roster is better than it was last year. I mean, defense carrying that swagger. They started to feel that last year. They started to build it up. Look at some of the contracts some of these guys have gotten. The offensive line. I love Kingsley at the left tackle position. I think you're really going to like the way he gets out in space and blocks. Isaiah Pacheco continues to get better and better each and every year. We'll talk about Carson Steele, but I do believe Carson Steele gives you something better than you had in the past. Not only that, to me, he's kind of an answer to the biggest issue the Chiefs have faced the last couple of years, and that's 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1. Because they're not going to do the quarterback sneak with Mahomes since his knee was dislocated that day in Denver, which they did pick up the first down, by the way. But to me, that's makes you better with Carson. The tight end room, I like Blake Bell. Blake Bell is a fine player for the Kansas City Chiefs. I like Jared Wiley. So Wiley, Gray, Kelsey there, love the tight end situation. I know Snead's gone, but it's been plug and play with the cornerbacks with the Chiefs. But Jaden Hicks, who I think was really the star of the preseason. I know Carson Steele is going to get some run because of the, you know, the electric stiff arms and everything, which offensively, yes. But Jaden Hicks was right up there with the leading tacklers each and every week, like 4 tackles, 6 tackles. He got a lot of play last night too. Played a lot of the first half. But Jaden Hicks, that's your heir apparent to Jordan Reed when he leaves. And Jaden Hicks will get a lot of run this year. Again, the guy's a tackling machine. And if you're worried about stopping the run, like I know some of the text line was earlier, part of your answer is Jaden Hicks, because he could come up and lay a hit. But I do think this wide receiver, I do think this team is better going this season than next year. And as Mitch said there, and it's like just like what Warren Sharp said last year from Sharp Football, he had never seen a team with 6 straight weeks having less rest than their opponents. That's what the Chiefs faced last year. 6 straight weeks towards the end where the teams had more rest. Remember Buffalo? They didn't take their bye week after they went to London. No, their bye week came right before they played the Chiefs. And it's a game they damn near lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, but they were more rested. Rest means so much in the NFL. But Warren Sharp, he went back to the annals. He's never seen a team with 6 straight weeks of less rest than their opponent. This year, yeah, I think there's a stretch there, and other teams have to do it too. Those 3 games in 11 days, that's going to be tough. Personally, I look at the schedule, and one of the things that I look at and go, ooh, is they're either playing at Arrowhead in December or they're playing in cold weather cities like Pittsburgh and Cleveland, things like that. But this team seems to relish in the snow. Mahomes, being a Texas guy, is great in the snow. So, but I see the, you know, team playing in colder weather going forward. Do you feel more confident this year, Rob, or last year before I start talking receivers?
So, it's an unpopular opinion I carry on this show. People think I'm crazy. You're on a group text we have with our friend Sean Barber, who has insulted me for this take on said group text. I think there is a chance, that this year's wide receiver room is similar to last year's. On paper, I think it's better today. I have no doubts. At this point last year, it was MVS, Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, or 1-2-3. We'll see how the rookie Rashee Rice does, and then kind of figure it out from there. There was hope in Richie James. There was hope in Justin Ross, fans and people. That was the situation 12 months ago. Fast forward 12 months, I think it's a better shape on paper. Xavier Worthy has high upside being a first-round pick. Marquise Brown, we've seen be successful in the National Football League, albeit he's hurt right now. You think Rashee Rice can take a step forward. All those things on paper make me believe that, hey, the receiver room is going to be better. But I'm not just writing it in pen. I'm not, you know, chiseling it into a tablet like it's a foregone conclusion. I think there is a chance that this receiving group looks eerily similar to last year's because Xavier Worthy has a chance, is going to be eased in. No one has super high expectations for him. Me and you disagree on his pressure, but I think there's very little on him. Rashee Rice, big season last year. Can he replicate it? That's the million-dollar question. And Marquise Brown health will always be the question. He's already hurt, so what do you think he's going to be able to do going forward? It's an unpopular opinion I have on this show, but I think there's a chance and not a, you know, insane, no way that happens chance, but a real chance this year's wide receiver room looks eerily similar to last year's.
Yeah, and I get that sentiment. Talked about it yesterday. I said, with Hollywood Brown out, it's not a lot different. Justin Watson's back here. He's going to make this team. He was here last year. Mecole Hardman came back last year. He was on this team. Rashee Rice was on last year's team. He's on this year's team. The two difference, the biggest difference makers are Hollywood Brown, but he needs to be out there. With Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy gives him a different element of speed on the outside. And Xavier Worthy, to me, has more pressure than Rashee Rice, and I do think Rashee Rice just continues to get better and better each and every time. The guy already was number two in the NFL in rookie receptions for wide receivers, yards, and receptions last year. But Xavier Worthy, like, a lot's banking on him. And the reason I say he's got more pressure than Rashee Rice, that I thought had more pressure on him than Sky Moore the year before, because last year, Rashee Rice was the new addition. Like, that was the new piece to the offense, the only one. I mean, Richie James, yeah, sure, if you want to go that way, but it really didn't help the Chiefs. But Hollywood Brown is not, you know, when, with him out, more pressure on Xavier Worthy. 100% more without Hollywood Brown. And he's the first-round pick. I mean, he's who they chose in the first round. They had other receivers they could have gone. Xavier Leggett, Keon Coleman, A.D. Mitchell. Other receivers right around there, they could have gone that direction. Ricky Pearsall, they could have gone those guys. They didn't do it. They wanted Xavier Worthy. They outlined him and said, we want this guy. And they trade the Buffalo Bills, which is insane to me that Buffalo still trades with Kansas City because they've single-handedly built up this team, the Chiefs, and they're the rival. But they keep doing it, which is crazy. But the bottom line is Xavier Worthy will have more pressure because of everything being put on him. He is the new ingredient, Rob. He's the new ingredient to the wide receiver room that they don't have. And without Hollywood Brown missing the first couple games, the difference between last year is him. You're saying, okay, he's going to be better than MVS, which I 100% think he's going to be because I like Xavier Worthy. But the Chiefs were banking heavily on Xavier because they didn't go grab Luke McCaffrey in the other rounds. They didn't draft a second wide receiver. This was a very deep wide receiver class, you know, throughout. But they just chose one. They chose one. And you know what? They chose right with Rice. They chose 100% right with Rashee Rice. Xavier Worthy, I think, is going to turn some heads. That is the missing piece. That's why I think there's more pressure on Rashee Rice, or excuse me, Xavier Worthy, because of being the first-round pick, MVS not here. He's the new toy. Obviously, some of that gets alleviated with Hollywood Brown on the field, Rob. And I do think the Chiefs are looking at him to be the Hollywood Brown type because Hollywood Brown's probably here just 1 year. 1 year, he's going to get the bag and move on because, again, they can't pay everybody. They can't do it. But it's not a ton different. You're banking heavily on Xavier Worthy because that is the difference between last year's wide receiver group. See what I'm saying there? Like, that is the one difference. And I do think that's an upgrade over MVS.
Can I ask you a question? Because me and you kind of agree on wide receiver, but we've disagreed on this in the past. You think this defense is going to take a step forward. I pointed out that it's largely the same roster as last year. A roster that was very good defensively, if not, you know, largely the same, if not, yep, a step back. You're down on the wide receiver room, but up on high on the defense. What's the difference? Because the defense, you could argue, got worse over the offseason, and the receiver room, at least on paper, got better, yet your opinion on each does not reflect what it looks like on paper.
Well, here's why. Not only do I think Drew Tranquil's taken more of ownership with this defense and what he does, Leo Chanel just continues to get better. Now, we saw, you know, developments in stride with him. George Karloftis is on the cusp of how good he's going to be. He hit double-digit sacks last year. But he had as many as Bosa in San Francisco last year. They both had 10.5. I think George Karloftis is barely scratching the surface of what he's doing. He's going into his prime right now. So I think you get more production from him. Mike Dana took a huge step forward last year. I think he takes that step forward this year, too. And with the secondary, that is a position that continues to get better. That's the way it should be. When you've seen different looks in the NFL and you face other wide receivers, you start building that confidence. I'm expecting Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, taking that proverbial bump the cornerbacks get. But I'll say this, too. That safety room is loaded, man. When you have, you know, veteran leadership like a Reed back there, you got Brian Cook that's coming back from injury. You add in Jaden Hicks, that I will say is the best safety that was in the draft last year. That's a missing ingredient. And you have a team with the confidence to finish number two in points against in the NFL, Rob. So I'm banking on experience, guys taking the next step, like a George Karloftis. I think Mike Dana is seeing his peak as well. 6 sacks last year, I think he gets more. But George Karloftis, I think, is going to be a beast this year for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I am very high, very, very high on George Karlaftis. But, I mean, we've talked about this in the past, and I do think it's worth noting about the defense. George Karlaftis can be a beast. Chris Jones can be what Chris Jones is. He's a double-digit sack guy at this point. We can kind of write that down in pencil most every year. Charles Minna, who's just MIA last year, and he was good in, what, the 9 games he played in, and now we don't know how many games he's going to play in this year. I feel like a lot of the defense coming forward, taking a step in the right direction, is based on the idea that Felix Anudike Uzama takes a step. And it's very possible. He showed some flash in the Super Bowl, and that's the last game of the season, and he looks better, and he could be better, but, I mean, it feels like George Karlaftis can be good and Chris Jones can be good, and the pass rush could as a whole be worse because they don't have a third guy. Mike Dana has only shown he's going to be as good as Mike Dana can be. I don't know that there's more there. He's a good player, but I don't think he's turning into T.J. Watt anytime soon. So Noah Minihue has me scared.
When Minihue comes back, that's going to be nice for this team. But Karlaftis, 10.5 sacks last year. I could see him getting the 14-15 range, to be honest with you. And text line 913 says defense did not get better. Lost top 5 cornerback. You did lose a tremendous cornerback. You did. But one thing the Chiefs have been able to do is churn corners inside and out. Remember Parker Anger? I don't even think he's in the league anymore. Was traded, you know, for Javarius Ward. Undrafted guy, Javarius Ward gets a huge contract with San Francisco to go on. They just keep churning and burning, man. And Javarius Ward's one of the best corners in the NFL with Frisco, right? They keep churning and burning. And don't sell Jaden Hicks short. That guy adds a lot to the defense. And Brian Cook coming back. But just the knowledge of seeing different offenses each and every week makes you better. Not only that, I'm going to throw something out here too. Mike Pinnell is a scary individual. Would you not agree? That guy, when he was mic'd up at the Super Bowl, you're like, you're glad you had that guy on your team. And, you know, him coming back to the Chiefs was huge. He'll be back on this team this year. I think Turk Wharton's taking that step forward. So I'm just looking at the guys taking step forwards with this team on defense. And having that swagger means a lot, that confidence that you've done it. And plenty of experience, you know, that you think about that rookie wall. These guys didn't hit it. You know, the 5 rookie defensive backs 2 Super Bowls ago? Well, guess what? Those guys have 2 Super Bowl rings now, and they've gotten experience. That's why it's plug and play. And I think the offense is going to be it. I think Matt Araiza at punter is going to be in a situation to pin teams down. Special teams on this team are ridiculous. I think Araiza really gives you some at punter, the quote punt god. And then Harrison Butker, of course. Like that's awesome. And James Winchester will be back for the regular season. He'll be fine. But the special teams on this team are, to me, are ridiculous. And I think it's an upgrade. I think as good as Townsend was, I do believe everything has been upgraded as far as that. So I'm looking at this team to be text line 17-0. No, not 17-0. Don't think you get to 17-0. Not even going to go there. I mean, even if they're 12-5, I'm okay with that. 13-4, I don't know, 12-5, I mean, it doesn't matter. You just want the experience that they have. You can't buy their experience they have in the postseason. Like, what happens in the regular season? You saw last year, I remember Christmas Day. I mean, they had a choice to make. Either go forward towards a dynasty or derail. It could have been destruction, derail, you name it, whatever you want. That Raiders game, but they went forward the other way. And then they only, you know, went against the best teams in the postseason on the road or neutral site. Again, they beat the number 1, the number 3, and the number 4 best scoring defenses in the NFL. This offense did at times had trouble scoring and didn't light up the scoreboard over 30 points. And the only reason they didn't play the number 2 scoring defense, because it's theirs. They were number 2 of the Chiefs. So, yeah, I look at this roster, and I think it's exponentially better up and down. And I think the defense, you're relying, again, not a lot of new pieces. Like you said, Drew Tranquil, I think, has just turned that corner because he's really ownership in this team. But George Karlaftis, I think we're just seeing the cusp of how good he's going to be as an edge rusher. The guy's got incredible motor. I remember, could he be like a Max Crosby type? I remember talking to his head coach the day they drafted him, and then we had him on the show. And that's what you want to see. continue to take steps forward, and that's what we're seeing from George Karlaftis.
Seems like a lot of your belief in the defense is that everyone's taking a step forward.
I have a huge belief in that.
That's just not how the NFL works. There are going to be players this year on the Chiefs, whether it be offense, defense, I don't know the position. But every year someone takes a step back. It is just the nature of the beast. Someone is taking a step back. So if it's someone on the defense, doesn't that lend itself to, with basically the same group, potentially as a unit taking a step back?
I don't know. They got so many young up-and-coming guys. Leo Chanel just continues to get better. George Karlaftis continues to get better. Again, this is one of the youngest teams in the National Football League. Like, a lot of them haven't hit their real prime of what they are. So, yeah, could guys take a step back? But who? Who's going to be that guy? Do you expect to be Trent McDuffie? No. He's only going to get better and better as he's garnered the whole respect of the National Football League. Yeah, Jaden Hicks is that kind of new piece to the defense, but you know what? Jaden Hicks is a tackling machine that can use blitzing and doing a whole bunch of different things. And I think people are really going to like Shamari Connor's versatility to be in the nickel or be back at safety as well. Very versatile defense. It's kind of how they've drafted. And no text line, Max Crosby's not overrated. I'm going to give him his credit because he is a beast. There's no doubt about that in my mind. It's fine. He's got a motor, nonstop motor, like Karlaftis has. I mean, he's, again, getting different edge rushers is tough, man. It's one of the toughest positions in football. It's a lot of first round. It's mostly first rounders. This is the top 20 sackers in the NFL. Matter of fact, it's been that way forever, and definitely the last 3 years when I charted that. Talking Kansas City Chiefs next. Matt McMullen of the Kansas City Chiefs joins us in studio. You can send in your questions as well, 913-586-7965.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.